Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, coming to you again from WeWork here in the center of Frankfurt. I do have kind of a repeating guest here, but first, let him introduce himself. Hello, Peter. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm Peter. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been founding businesses for 7 years now, and I'm very happy to be here today.
Thing is, we should tell the people that in the beginning, I was part of a German-only podcast, and we did a remote interview back in the days. At this time, you've been working in consumer product.
Yes, that's correct.
And from then we kept in touch, and now you're doing a different venture, right?
Yes, I've been doing a lot of ventures since. This is my 12th, and the current one is in deep learning AI. While the first one was in consumer product, consumer brands.
And my understanding is your first venture is still running?
Yes, all of them are still running.
Yes. 12 ventures. How do you keep track of all of them?
Well, I'm lucky to have good executives in place. The newest one, the AI, I'm running personally, and the other ones are run by executives I can trust really well, and that take a lot of the load off me. So I have less work on keeping track.
That sounds pretty good. Let's do a little bit your journey. How did you start up with entrepreneurship? What fascinates you?
Well, as you can maybe tell by the amount of ventures I've done, entrepreneurship is also my number one hobby. What gets me most excited is starting up in a totally new field of business, finding out the perimeters, finding out what you need to do to be successful in this area, setting everything up, creating the broader strategy. That's what I thrive for.
Mm-hmm. I see. And basically, what I understand from your first venture, you started out selling your products on Amazon, and then you expanded, like, sell it across Europe, across the United States, right? So you already did, like, a big, almost global expansion already with your first project, right?
Yes, correct. I'll guide you through and take a very short overview. So the first one was indeed a consumer product company, a beauty company. We were producing beauty and selling it mostly online, mostly on Amazon. It then grew into pharmacies, and that's the way it's being run still today. And the thing was, after starting it with the first product, that was kind of an innovation. A body aftershave, which was new because there were only aftershaves for the face before that. And we went to the German Shark Tank, and suddenly we had a brand because so many people watched that. And the question was how to expand the product portfolio since there's a brand now. And we chose a very tech-heavy approach, and went through Google data, through Amazon data, and we're looking for new trends and new products to release. So that led us to having a whole pipeline of product releases because we were just following the data. And soon the portfolio grew to 25 products. And then the question was quite obviously, can you apply this to other types of businesses too, to other consumer businesses? So I started a socks brand, a nutritional supplement brand, actually several with different approaches, another beauty line, even a washing gel brand for men, All kinds of other consumer brands, and in the end there was 7 of them, and they were all following the same principle of looking at data and releasing the products that are on the verge of a trend. And the success rate was pretty high, especially on Amazon, which led one of the biggest retail groups in Europe in drugstores to contact us and say, could you take over this process for us too? And that is how we came up with spinning off this approach and turning it into a real product, which has resulted in the AI company that we are doing, which is making time series analysis and prediction and looking at consumer data now and making prediction on consumer interest and behavior in the future, basically using our essence of our company and offering it to bigger companies who have more leverage. Mm-hmm.
The deal was already in the German startup news, so it's Rossmann. It's one of the largest drugstore chains in Germany. And the company, I do believe, is called Pythia.
Pythia. Pythia. Okay. Pythia AI, like the Greek goddess who founded the Oracle in Delphi.
So you're not only an Oracle, you're the founder of the Oracle.
Yes. Well, she was the founder of the Oracle and I'm the founder of of her.
The naming is not Chai, okay?
Yeah, the naming is the naming has not. Yeah, I was thinking when we were picking names, I was thinking, wow, this is a ballsy name. I gotta say, okay. We went for it.
But apparently, everybody went with it.
Yeah.
So basically, what you're doing now is, you went from consumer products with several ventures into like deep tech, AI learning. And we should tell our viewers, our listeners, that you actually do have a technical background. Then it starts to make more sense for them, right?
Yes. I've studied aerospatial engineering in Munich at the Technical University.
That means he's a rocket scientist.
And economy, I'm not doing on a deep product level. I'm more creating the broader tech strategy and architecture on a broader level, on a higher level. Mm-hmm. That's my role and on a technical perspective in the company.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is you've been looking for investor money.
Yes, that's correct.
Just recently. And for everybody who thinks you look a little bit tired, yes, you are tired. You're jet-lagged. You just opened an office in the Silicon Valley, right?
Yes, I just flew in yesterday.
We had slight logistical difficulties due to that, but we finally made it here.
Yes.
But by the way, that's the reason the background is so dark, because we had to stay a little bit longer. But nonetheless, we're very happy to have you here. Let's tell the story of your Silicon Valley office.
Thank you very much. So yeah, we 3 days ago, we opened our office in Sunnyvale in the Valley. It was also part of a bucket list that appeared the moment I touched base in the Valley for the first time. And I've spent most of my last year over there, and we've started setting foot, and now we're based over there too. So now we're running Frankfurt, Berlin, and Valley offices.
Oh, I see. And a story somebody told me up front before you came in, basically you went along the street in the Silicon Valley where all the VCs are actually headquartered, and more or less he literally told me the story. You went there and just knocked on the door. Hey, I'm Peter. I'm from Germany. I want money.
Yes.
Was it something like that?
That's pretty accurate.
And nobody kicked you out?
No. So what amazed me about that, so I really, there's two streets in the valley that are covering most of the high target venture capital firms. And on those two streets, they're all sitting one next to each other. And on my first round there, actually, like last year, I had a few meetings, but I obviously wanted to expand and get more traction onto our funding round. So I really went door to door, knocked or rang the bell. And what amazed me was that even though it's the startup mecca of the world, I would say, a lot of venture capital firms were saying that this was the first time that this happened to them. And that blew my mind. Like, this is the place where everybody is going who wants to aim high in the startup business and in the tech startup business especially. And nobody goes for the best firms possible to get a contact.
I do believe it's much more convenient if you sit at home at your desk and you just send out emails and you hate them that they are not replying. But actually, it's way harder to ignore someone when they're physically present, right?
Yes, of course, but you gotta hustle. And actually, the feedback, of course, some were saying, I don't have time right now, or could you come back another time, or we're just taking the card and we're saying we'll get back to you if there is interest, and we're at like maybe 30 seconds and we're like, okay, bye. But on the other hand, a lot were saying, wow, we respect that, because that's a founder's skill that we want to see. You know, you gotta hustle. You gotta hustle.
That is pretty good. For everybody who's watching this, you're actually right now not closed with your Series A round. You're still looking for investors, right?
Yes, we finished our seed round last year with close to $1 million, and now we're looking at a Series A round. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So everybody who would like to reach out to you, down here in the show notes, wherever you're watching or listening to this, there's a link to our blog and the blog post that contains this YouTube video. There's a link to your personal LinkedIn profile so people can straight reach out to you.
Yes, that's correct.
You told us you have several ventures and you have reliable executives that are actually keep the company running. How do you find those people? I assume you don't just find them randomly in Starbucks.
That's a great question. So finding good executives, I think everybody who has ever looked for someone and has found out that that's hard. I think that that's a worldwide common problem for everybody looking for executives. I don't get around interviewing a lot of people, but I've optimized that process by really trying to understand what are the qualities of this person, going strongly into, is it a detail person, is it a broader strategy person, what's the execution power, and we're running interviews that go really deep into personality. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really looking a lot at university grades, who can be an indicator for personality as well, but I use them more as an indicator or past jobs. I'm always going deep into that person's psychology and work philosophy. Those are the things that I'm looking at most. And the third big point is culture. Culture meaning work culture. What does that person, I'm always asking, what does that person think is a perfect work environment or an ideal work environment? what is the ideal communication with other people? And what I'm looking first and foremost, which I would add as one of the main points, is how much ownership is that person able to carry and is natively carrying when it comes to problems or successes as well. So I'm always looking for people who take full ownership. That's one of the ideals I'm looking for. And I'm choosing by, is that person able to take full ownership of its doing? That is something. Or is that person externalizing outcomes?
I would be curious, when you talked about like a broad strategy person or a detail person, in the role of an executive, you don't necessarily want to have a person who's just focused on the details. But on the other hand, if they're just looking at the very important picture, they may oversee like two or three lines of text in a contract, which can later on really hurt a venture. So what's the ideal balance you're looking for?
All right. Also a great question. So I don't think that there are a lot of people, there's always exceptions, who are talented at both larger scale picture and very narrow detail. I always think it's a trade-off somewhere, with exceptions. So I'm looking for executives, depending on the business, mostly for a broader view. I don't want them to get stuck in detail, but I want them to understand that the people that they are hiring need to compensate for that and be more detail focused and take over that part and be very diligent. But in an executive, I'm usually looking for people who have a broader perspective, who see a broader strategy, who can make up the bigger picture.
Hmm.
This is also where I kind of see myself at. I think I'm very good at concepts and definitely a lot worse at detail. And I'm always trying to compensate that with the people I work with, who balance this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so to put it in perspective, I always think the person, the leading executive, should have a broader view, then the managers who work for him should be somewhere in between broad and detail, and then the people executing should be more detail focused. So the first gives the bigger picture, the first layer, and then the layers in between transport that picture, that strategy, that vision, transport it into more detail until it gets executed in full detail. That's how I'm picturing it.
So like a pyramid.
Like a pyramid. Pyramids are very badly connotated in business, but yes, like a pyramid.
This is not a pyramid scheme. No.
This is not a pyramid scheme, is what every pyramid scheme says. So in order to understand the broader vision that is being created, you need to have a broad vision, right? So that's why I find it important that broad vision, medium, and then come all the parameters in between, medium vision, medium detail, and then detail. Because otherwise you cannot transport that vision into all the details the bigger vision is reflected in each detail. So you need someone to build a broader concept, someone to understand that concept in one area, let's say in marketing, and be able to tell the content creators the details on a more detailed level, and they then need to understand on a detail level the concept and make the very small details fitting to that concept. And the same goes for all areas and managers in between. They need to understand the broader and need to be able to transport and communicate that to their people executing.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking before we started that we both do like the books of Ben Horowitz. If you haven't read The Hard Thing About Hard Things, read it. It's awesome. And he tells stories about people who are good in their job in a growing startup, like managing a team of 5 people. But when it gets to 50 people, they are out of the depth. So basically you need to retask them, fire them, or get the boss on top of them. How do you deal with that stuff?
First of all, I'm also a big fan of that book. Actually, another Ben Horowitz book is on my top 5 books I would recommend to everyone. It is What You Do Is Who You Are, which really opened my mind on business culture and its importance. A feeling I had before already, but it really clarified it and it pushed it higher in my view, which is also why I said earlier that another big point that I'm looking for in executives I'm hiring is do they have a healthy culture, a healthy work culture, and does that their culture fit into our company's culture? Something I think you do intuitively, but this really brought it up and really made it more present.
Do you kind of also measure that? Because I do believe a lot of startups, a lot of companies out there measure their people by strictly Excel-based approach, KPI achieved, not achieved. Can you kind of evaluate something like this also on a like rolling annual, biannual basis?
So this is also a great point, a complex point. Looking at result-based evaluation, I do that when it comes to the perspective of time. So I don't evaluate people by how much time they're spending at the office or work in general. On that perspective, I'm only looking at results. When it comes to company culture, though, or the general decision-making process, it's not always the right result that that tells you that it was the right decision. So you can have the right decision leading to a wrong result and the wrong decision leading to the right result, which can be a very bad decision that has resulted in a great result. I still look at the decision and the decision-making process and not at the result. Yeah. So to your question, no, I'm not valuing that result-based. More decision-making based. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been talking a lot about books. What would be like your top 5 business books you could like strongly recommend? Mm-hmm. And usual disclaimer, they'll be all available down here in the show notes with an affiliate link.
All right. So the business books or books in general, I don't divide between business and personal life too much in terms of growing. I think if you grow as a person, you grow as a leader and as a business person as well. So I've always experienced my impact on the companies and the growth of the companies, thus being strongly impacted by also my personal development. So that's why the list would be for me Principles by Ray Dalio, one of the strongest books I've ever read.
Ray Dalio is one of the founders of Bridgewater Associates,
yes.
A hedge fund investment company. Yes.
Correct. Then this year's favorite so far has been The Man Who Solved the Market, the book about Jim Simons and Renaissance Technology, another hedge fund.
Mm-hmm. We may say Simons was a professor of mathematics, and they do have a fund that is basically only working with proprietary money of him and his company, and they're still really whacking the market. They're doing really well from what you can tell from the outside.
Yes. Then What You Do Is Who You Are by Ben Horowitz, the book on company culture that I've mentioned. The Little Prince is definitely in the top five. A book that I think at all ages, if you reread it, you find something new in it. What else would I put there? Definitely Nietzsche. Also, I think for a broader philosophy, I think philosophy goes really well with business, because you start making up a concrete and more precise business philosophy through that. So in general, I recommend that. That would be my strongest picks.
Mm-hmm. I also did that because I was looking for some quotes to share next to the ones we get from the interviews, and actually I realized, like, Goethe, Schopenhauer.
Not to mention, of course, everything that Hermann Hesse has ever written.
Yeah,
that goes. I think created also a big part of my personality.
Mm-hmm. Everybody who would like to learn more, go down here in the show notes. There will be link also to Wikipedia articles, who's Hermann Hesse, who's Friedrich Nietzsche, Arthur Schopenhauer, and so on and so forth. I do assume for most of my audience, we don't need to link Ben Horowitz. They should know him. As I said in the beginning, we are here in Frankfurt. And from my understanding, all of your businesses are based in Frankfurt, right?
Yes, so the home base of almost all is Frankfurt, while the AI is just getting a US entity.
Uh-huh. So we are sponsored here by Invest in Hessen. What does Hessen Frankfurt mean for you?
Well, first of all, it means home. And on the other hand, it means high access to capital in German terms due to all the banks here. It means a pretty high quality talent pool, since there is a lot of economics and mathematics and engineering students around here. We're really happy with the engineers we were able to hire here, and just as well as the rest of the workforce.
Many people usually won't understand that, but there's a lot of people like on project basis with consulting companies, even working in the IT of the banks, who are really, really good at coding. They know their stuff. They can also do AI and all that stuff. And that's the talent pool you're talking about, right? Like all the people internally and externally that help keep running the banks and can do much more than just banks, right?
Yes, we're happy with the talent pool, especially since a lot of people are trained by the companies here. And what we also have come to love is the work ethics. So it's a very work-minded city, I would say, and also it's a matter of competitiveness and people take things seriously. So we're happy with the talent pool, and thus only with this talent pool and the team that we were able to put together, we have reached so much. So that speaks for itself, I think.
I would say, since you arrived here with a bicycle, you also most likely like the proximity of everything here. You can just get around by bicycle, and you can actually do it faster than by Porsche.
depending how you drive, but the logistics are very, very good too here.
Yeah, especially taking all the flights and the international.
And the proximity to the airport, of course.
Yeah, and the train connections. You can go by train here high speed to Vienna, Paris, a lot of Eastern Europe, like via Paris, you can even go to London via the Eurotunnel and all that stuff. It's actually pretty nice here. Before it's getting too late, I just want to say thank you very much. We keep in touch. We will report when you finally finish your Series A. And until then, best of luck and thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.